Yeah. Okay, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. And there's one thing I noticed, there's a lot of preaching going on, but it might not necessarily be the gospel. The gospel is an important thing. Paul said, if any man preaches any other gospel than what he gave to us, let him be accursed. And I'm not much into that thing. So I just copy him. That's the smartest thing to do. The gospel is this: Jesus Christ and him crucified. If it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and him crucified, it's not the gospel. Always, always, always compare what you're listening to and see how it leads you to the cross. If it doesn't lead you to the cross, if it leads you to your own efforts, stop. Just stop. Just stop. Jesus told some Jewish people one time, he said, the traditions of your forefathers have made the word of God to none effect. Now we've got doctrine that is run rampant across this nation. The doctrine of men. You know, they didn't get gay pastors from Jesus. He didn't come up with that idea. We have pastors that are saying it's okay to have abortions. They didn't get that idea from Jesus. You know, when a whole pack of pastors, like 30 or 40 of them, go down to Planned Parenthood and bless that place, they didn't get that from Jesus. That's the doctrines of men, the doctrines of devils. Always compare what you're listening to the Bible, and if it doesn't lead to the cross, stop. Amen? Most churches seem to agree that forgiveness of sins is a basic teaching. But it's not, or they seem to have missed it somehow. Excuse me. Because there's people running around with a perpetual sense of guilt. There's people running around that are always holding some sin over their head, you know, like they're paying some kind of penance for it. Like they've got to feel bad long enough until God forgives them. God has already forgiven you for that sin. And it's not your confession that got that forgiveness done. It was the blood of Jesus that did that. All too often people run around and they think that God hasn't forgiven them because they don't feel right. How many of you ever felt bad about something they done? One of the challenges that I have, and it was a hard challenge, and I'm sure that absolutely everybody has to face this, but I was feeling bad about stuff I'd done. And what I actually had to do is go in there to the Bible and find in that Bible where it says that God forgives me. And I had to say that I'm forgiven because the Bible says so. And I had to keep saying that. And I'd read that verse and I'd say, I'm forgiven because the Bible says so. And then what happened? My feelings lined up with the Word of God. Too many people try to get the Word of God to line up with their feelings. You can't do that. You'll have to stick your nose in that Bible. And you'll have to convince yourself in there by meditating on it. And you'll have to get it in your heart. And then your feelings will line up with the Word of God. When I got born again, one of the first things that happened to me is some preacher come up to me and said, you didn't get born again, right? God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. I had to go find that in the Bible where it says, if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, I shall be saved. And I had to go through that over and over and over again. Then guess what happened? My feelings lined up with the Word of God. Everybody's going to have to do the same thing. But people are running around with this perpetual sense of guilt and condemnation, and this leads to a broken fellowship with God, not a broken relationship. Sometimes people get fellowship and relationship mixed up. And that's just not true. You make a mistake, you don't stop being a child of God. Now you may have broken fellowship, but it's not God that's pushed you away. See, what he wants you to do when you make a mistake is to run to him. This is where your pride is going to have to just take it to the ditch. You're going to have to just throw it away and just run to him and say, man, I blew it again. What happens? Your fellowship is restored right there because you went running to him. And he was always open. He never did close that door. But all too often, people get to wallowing in the guilt and the condemnation. And then pretty soon, they get where they won't darken that door. There's a lot of Christians running around town that won't go through that door. They feel so bad about something that they did, and they can't let it go. And they don't understand that God already let it go. Amen. They get the feeling that God is far away. And they fear losing their place in God's family. They fear losing that anointing. So let's look at what Paul preached here. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you do these things? Let's stop there. The Holy Spirit described this man as having three things wrong with his feet. It was literally an impossible situation. Wouldn't you imagine, from his mother's womb, this man was lame? That's an impossible situation. But not with God. The man heard Paul and had faith. Now Romans chapter 10:17, it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what happened to you when you got born again? You heard somebody preach the gospel, and all of a sudden you had a burst of faith inside of you, and you had enough faith to get born again. See, God gives every man a measure of faith to get born again. That's different than the measure of faith. But he gives everyone a measure of faith. He gives everybody the ability to get born again. He's a good God. But sometimes it takes a little while. People telling you about God, telling you about Jesus, and you blowing them off, telling them to grow up, or telling them to go away, or be gone. And, you know, to somebody that's not a believer, there's nothing more annoying than a pastor showing up every time. Believe me, they're irritating. And they were everywhere. And I just wanted to stay away. And I could see a pastor a block away. I could tell by the way they walked. I'd just go somewhere else. And I'd try to avoid them. I go to the post office. There's a pastor. I go to the bar. There's a pastor. Why was a pastor in a bar? Checking on me? But people keep telling you about God until finally that veil goes down and you say, hey, I really do believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I want him to be my Lord. Sometimes I've seen little kids get born again, and then sometimes I've seen people where they're fairly old before they get born again. You don't know when that seed is going to hit. But it's going to be the seed of gospel, not man's doctrine. It's going to be the gospel that gets them born again. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, when it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that word for God right there is not theos. Catch a hold of this. It's Christos, or Christ. You can preach from Genesis to Revelation from the perspective of Jesus and his grace. Did you know that I could preach the Ten Commandments to you every Sunday, the law? And that's the Word of God. But that's not going to build faith in your heart, is it? That's going to build condemnation and frustration and fear. But if I preach Christ and him crucified and what Jesus did for you on that cross, and I keep telling you about the love of God through Jesus, which is the words of Christos, what's going to happen? You're going to be like that man, them two men that were on the road to Emmaus. There were two guys on the road to Emmaus walking down, and they were kind of pouting, and all of a sudden Jesus came down there, and he concealed himself, but he's walking with them. So what's wrong with you guys? And they said, man, they crucified our Lord. And he started talking to them, and pretty soon they got lit up on the inside, and they could see, and he went away. And they said, that was our Lord. When he was speaking his words to us, it felt like there was a fire burning on the inside of us. I know each one of you, at some point in time, when you was reading the Bible, or you got quiet by yourself, you felt your spirit stir. Felt like butterflies. It's not pizza in there all the time. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves you. Amen? And it's an exciting time. And then what you need to do is just go ahead and just yield to that and spend a little bit of time just visiting with the Holy Spirit. Maybe pray in tongues, or just be quiet and listen on the inside of you in fellowship with him. It's an exciting time. That's God on the inside of you, talking to you. You'll love it. But anyway, one thing you need to know about Christ, in the Old Testament, he was concealed. That's why we go in there and we find types and shadows of Christ in the Old Testament. We find him in the mercy seat. We find him in the ox. We find him in the sin offering. We find him in the peace offering. Find him in all these different offerings, in the grain offering, all these different things. We find him in there all the way through, all the way through. But in the New Testament, he's revealed. So what did Paul preach in that thing? Look at verse 7, chapter 14, verse 7. There they preached the gospel. They preached the gospel. We don't need any more than the gospel. He preached the gospel, not divine healing. You know, this guy got healed. He was lame in his feet and he got healed right there. But Paul wasn't preaching divine healing. He was preaching the gospel. So what gospel was he preaching? Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Sometimes when you find something and you want to know more about it, start reading backwards. You know, start tracing this stuff back. Acts 13, verse 38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses." So the man believed and he walked away. He believed and walked away. That sounds a lot like the guy that was on the mat and his friends dug a hole through the roof and let him down. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," and get up and roll your bed up and go. He didn't preach nothing about healing to that guy. He just said, "Your sins are forgiven." Why would that be such a big thing? Because under the law, if you broke the law, something horrible was going to happen to you. That's just the way it was. The curse would come on you. It tells all about that in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Talks all about the curse. All these diseases, all these sicknesses, all these lamenesses, all these bad things coming down on you. And now here's this guy saying, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, to him, that was just like Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for you." So he received it. He said, "Wow, I'm redeemed from the curse." And he got up and walked away. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I think if salvation would get preached more and more instead of born again, I think we'd see a lot more stuff happening. I know it's important to be born again, but you're going to have to preach the full gospel in order to preach salvation. Amen. And once you start preaching salvation and the full gospel, people are going to get free. People are going to be freer than they've ever been. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, verse 44. "And the next Sabbath day came all, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Literally the word of Christos. "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Not everybody is going to love grace. You should take full advantage of grace. You should absolutely embrace grace. Not everybody's going to love grace. You know, there's a religious mafia. There was a religious mafia in Jesus' day, and it didn't go away. We still got a religious mafia today. We still got a religious mafia today. I run into them every once in a while. And they hate what I have to say. Because they think that every man should be held accountable to the law of God. And they can't accept the fact and the truth that Jesus fulfilled the law and he took our place so that we could take his place. And now, when you get born again, you get placed back into a covenant of grace, which is where you were supposed to be, which is what Abraham had. But now, we have an even better covenant. Amen? Because it's ratified with the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 41. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. That was Paul's rebuke for not receiving the gospel of Christ. He said, I was showing you the way, and you turned your nose up to it. You know, there's Christians, there is that literally Christians that will turn their nose up to the full gospel of Jesus, the full gospel of Paul, every day. I know a preacher that got carried out of a church and thrown out. This church wanted a cowboy preacher, so he went there and he started preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they picked him up and carried him out the door and said, don't come back. Glenn Smith calls that the right foot of fellowship. But literally, what they did was turn their nose up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They decided that the doctrine of men was more relevant than what God had to say. Amen? That happens all the time. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints slept rose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Jesus did not come to bring loss. He came to bring life. And when his blood was released on this earth, that was the most powerful substance that ever hit this earth. This was a total forgiveness, a total cleansing. Amen. The Jews today, the rabbis, are really excited because they found the ashes of a red heifer. Now, this is very important. This is important for end times events. They have to have the ashes of a red heifer for the cleansing of the temple, the cleansing of the people. They've been in contact with them. If they just turned to Jesus, they could have the blood of Jesus cleanse them that fast. And that worry would be over. Not all of them will, but some do. John 10:10 says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See, Jesus is about life-giving. He comes from the order of Melchizedek, that priesthood from Melchizedek, which gives and gives and gives. The law takes. If you do something wrong, the law has to exact some punishment from you. But you're not under the law unless you place yourself there. How do you place yourself? How do you place yourself under the law? There's Christians all over the country that do this. They swear they're not doing it, but they do it. They say, no, I'm under grace. I said, okay. How do you earn your blessings? They start telling me all these different things that they got to go through to earn their blessings. How do they got to be qualified to be good enough to be healed? And I said, I thought you was under grace. You can't earn anything from God. Unless there's something that you can do that could be more valuable than the blood of Jesus, you need to stop and go to the cross and receive freely what God has freely given you. The gospel of grace does cause divisions. How can that be? Here's the thing. People always trying to bring everybody together. You can see it from pastors. You can see it to leaders in communities. You can see it in the national stage. You know, the Pope and the Ayatollah and everybody, they're trying to bring everybody together to be one people. That's not going to happen. Not until Jesus comes down here and he says he's going to bring everybody together in the unity of the faith. Now, he did make us one family with Jews when he rent that twain, tore down that middle wall of partition. Now we can go to the Father. But you're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 3. Real quick. Acts chapter 14, verse 3 said, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands, but the multitudes of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. You see how that happened? You do something, some people are going to be drawn to that and say, that's pretty cool. And some people are going to say, man, you stay away from that boy. I don't know about that. One of the weirdest things I heard was Kenneth Copeland went to an island one time to do a revival, and some lady brought her young child to him, and this young child was dead. And he prayed over this child, and this child come back to life. And he thought, man, the revival fire is on. This is going to be a big deal. And he said people stayed away in droves. Said it was a small crowd. They were looking at him like, that's one of those guys. Stay away from that. Don't worry about it. You just keep going on about what God tells you to do. Look at verse 5 down there. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. We don't live amongst rock throwers. We got word throwers, but not rock throwers. Thank God, I don't want nobody throwing no rocks at me. But I know there's some of them I've made mad enough to throw rocks at me. You know, but here's one thing that you can do to find out if you're in a full gospel setting. You know, because you'll find almost every pastor in the country will say they preach the full gospel of God. And I've asked them when I found this, just the quickest way. Do you believe the full gospel of God? Yes, sir, I do. I believe the full gospel of God. So you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues? If they stutter, you just turn around and go the other way, because they don't believe in the full gospel of God. They're just little quick things. And they give themselves up. They tell their true colors in just a few words. Sometimes they don't even believe in salvation. See, it's important to ask questions. You know, people just go buy books and listen to tapes, and they hear something about somebody and they say, man, this guy is wonderful. I found this book in a Christian bookstore. You know, there's lots of people that are writing Christian books that aren't even born again. They haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be feeding on that. Make sure that you're hearing the gospel that Paul preached. I don't know how many times I've watched people on even on TV. And I'd sit there and watch them, and I'd wait for the gospel. I'd wait for them to say something about Jesus, and they were nothing more than a mere motivational speaker. But they sell books by the thousands. They have huge congregations. So what's going on? They're preaching these ear-itching things that make people feel good, but it doesn't really have a true route that's going to take you somewhere. You know, the gate is going to open up one of these days, and people are going to wonder why things are going so bad for them. And it's because they built their life on sand and not on the rock. They went to these ear-itching preachers. They had the cool worship service, and there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And they get excited. And it just felt so good. But they didn't hear the gospel. And they didn't get born again. And then they didn't know how to operate by faith. And then when something happens, and something will happen, their life crashes. Because they didn't know how to stand on that rock of revelation. They didn't know how to fight. One of the saddest things I've ever seen. And I know a girl personally whose mom was real popular in a church, a big church. And they were very religious. They went to church all the time. All the time. And her mom died, and the girl crashed. I don't know if she's going to survive it. But in 4 years' time, she became a felon, losing her teeth, and a total wreck. But she grew up in church. She grew up going to church, but she didn't grow up listening to the gospel. She didn't grow up listening on how to grow in faith and operate in this kingdom. You see how dangerous it is to just be led like a sheep. You need to follow the Holy Spirit. Follow Jesus as a sheep. He's a good shepherd. But you need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Make sure what you're listening to goes to the cross. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that every time we take your word into our hearts, it produces faith. Your seed produces in your kingdom a 100-fold, a 60-fold, a 30-fold return on your word. Your seed is the word. And it will change our lives from the inside out. And it will change the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.